The Holy Gospel for today is taken from the 9th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. But they did not receive him, because his face was set towards Jerusalem. When his disciples James and John saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But Jesus turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." He said, "Lord, let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as far as you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." This is the word of life. Well, I know that today is a day for us to celebrate the garden and rejoice over that. I felt what I could only say was the Holy Spirit nagging me to preach a different sermon than a garden sermon. Okay, so we celebrate the garden, and we will continue to celebrate the garden after worship. So I know that my dad, my father, loved me. He loved all three of his children very much. He always did whatever he could do to make sure that we had what we needed in life. And by trade, my dad was a machinist. He worked for 35 years at Columbia Machine in Vancouver, Washington. And he worked hard to provide for his family. When I was 10 years old, my dad told me at the dinner table one night, he said, "Beth, you can be anything you want to be." And I remember that conversation more than 40 years later. I remember that conversation vividly because that was how much that my dad believed in me. He was committed to help make it happen, whatever that it was going to be. But I wasn't unique in that way, though, because that was how he felt about each of my siblings, my older brother Brian and my younger sister Brenda. He did what he could to help each of us have opportunities in life. Eric, my husband, is a father who loves his daughter. He's a father who loves both of his children, Grace and Isaiah. His commitment to our children is something actually that makes me fall in love with him over and over again and deeper with the passing years. His commitment to them, his love for them. Eric grew up with his mother. He was her only child. His dad wasn't a part of his daily life, wasn't really a part of his regular life. Eric is deeply committed to being a very present father to his children, to create opportunities and experiences that he didn't have when he was growing up. So, when I see that photograph, photograph of the Salvadoran father, Oscar Martinez Ramirez, and his nearly two-year-old daughter. How many of you know which photograph I'm talking about? Okay. his nearly 2-year-old daughter, Valeria, washed up on the banks of the Rio Grande River because they drowned on the border of Mexico and the United States. I weep. And actually, if I'm completely honest, my first reaction wasn't to weep, it was to turn away. I didn't want to look at that picture. It was disturbing. It was profoundly sad. It was gut-wrenchingly painful to see. If you haven't seen it, you can't see their faces, and I'm not going to show you the picture. You can't see their faces, but Valeria's arms are still wrapped, clinging to her father underneath his shirt. The more I thought about that experience, that not just the picture, but what that father and his daughter, what they, that family has gone through, I thought, we can't be turning away. We can't be pretending that this kind of stuff isn't happening, because it is. I believe that Oscar was a committed father who loved his daughter, Valeria, like my father, Bruce, loved me. And regardless of thoughts on immigration, the migrants and the refugees who are seeking to come to our country are among the most vulnerable people in the world. And what's truly heartbreaking is that there is a disproportionate number of children among them. For those parents who are lucky enough to make it across the border into our country, are often separated from their children, parents and children. And they're separated for months and months and months and months. I read an article where there was a child who was separated from her parents for a whole year. Now, we know our nation's borders need security. They need stability. That's not a question. And there needs to be a process in place for anyone who's seeking asylum here in the United States. What about the children? What about the children? What about the children being held in detention centers? We're probably not going to see the best of situations on the news. But those detention centers don't really look like any place I would want my children to be. Turning away, turning the page, turning the channel, turning further down our news feeds is really our luxury here, isn't it? But that desperation of their parents keeps confronting us. Most of these people aren't criminals. Many of them are people of faith. They're our brothers and sisters in Christ. They're families that are fleeing for safety and seeking a chance for a better future for their children. They have a desperate hope for a better future. Makes me wonder, what kind of horrors are they experiencing in their homeland that would cause loving parents to put their beloved children at risk? In the midst of all this, I think sometimes we forget that Jesus himself was a refugee. Remember, after he was born as a small child, his parents, Mary and Joseph, were forced to flee persecution in their homeland and find safety in a foreign land. And you remember why? King Herod, he was jealous. He began indiscriminately murdering the Jewish children. Mary and Joseph were warned in a dream, we're told, in the Bible, and they fled to Egypt. And they didn't return home until they were told that it was safe. I think this might be partly why Jesus always had a tender place in his heart for children. When others dismissed them and told them to go away, what did he do? He took them in his arms and he held them and he blessed them. And then he held them up as examples of faith. He told us grown-ups, be like these children. People of God, we must not look away from Oscar and Valeria. We must not look away from what's happening at our nation's borders. We can't ever look away from those who are vulnerable and in need, whether they are at our borders or whether they're right here in our neighborhood. Today, Jesus invites us to follow him. He invites us wherever we are on this wonderful and sometimes heartbreaking journey of life to follow him. He doesn't demand that we have it all together or that we've got it all figured out. He doesn't demand that we know where we're going. He doesn't even demand that we reject our responsibilities to our families or our vocation. He only asks that we don't turn away. That we never turn away from those who are vulnerable and in need. He only begs us to stop making excuses. Stop putting conditions on how we want to follow him and when we want to follow him. He invites us to step outside our comfort zones and follow him. Follow him with hearts of love. Follow him with hearts of compassion. Why? Jesus invites us to follow him because he's leading us to life in all its fullness. He's leading us to the very, very heart of God. To a God of love and compassion. To a God who's always searching for the lost. To a God who tends the brokenhearted and reaches out to the vulnerable. To a God who stands in solidarity with the poor and the oppressed. To a God who calls for justice and yet always puts compassion above the law. To a God who forgives sinners and welcomes all to his table. You know, God is never what we or the world expects. Yet God is just the kind of God that each one of us desperately need. For this God, our God, is in turn desperate to embrace us, desperate to redeem us, desperate to give us hope. This God is desperately in love with us and desires to give all his children, no matter where we may be, life in all its fullness. Thanks be to God. Amen.